Today's guest on Medio Scientifics, the business of LoRaWAN, is Dimitris Malalis, co-founder and CEO of Kudzu Technologies. Dimitris has been working with LoRa since 2012, before the LoRaWAN protocol was even standardized. What started as a hardware-focused company has evolved into one of the most advanced LoRaWAN analytics platforms in the field. Kudzu helps network operators, whether they realize they're operators or not, design, monitor, and troubleshoot networks that power everything from water meters to smart city infrastructure. In this conversation, we cover how Kudzu's tools give network owners actionable insights, like whether a gateway outage is critical or not, and why most LoRaWAN deployments break down not because of the technology itself, but because of poor planning or misconfigured devices. Dimitris explains how LoRa's connectionless nature introduces both power and complexity, and why it's essential to treat even small deployments like real networks with real operational needs. We also dig into how the helium boom helped Kudzu sharpen its ability to explain network complexity to non-experts, and what Dimitris sees as the missing piece to take LoRaWAN from hobbyist success to global infrastructure standard, third-party network quality certification. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation's IoT Working Group. Helium offers global LoRaWAN coverage and is used by everyone from hobbyists to businesses deploying countrywide networks. If you'd like to see if Helium coverage exists near you, check out the links in the show notes. To get started using Helium today, you can sign up for a console account with Medio Scientific at console.medioscientific.com. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Dimitris. Dimitris, thanks so much for coming on the show. Super excited to have you.
It's very nice being here. It was nice meeting you in Barcelona conference and, you know, setting this up. We love to be here.
It's super cool. I mean, we met during the helium craze, but I'd like to go back a little bit further in Kudzu land and walk me through what was the arc of development for Kudzu. Did you guys start out thinking you were going to build hardware and then go into network analytics? Like, what did that look like?
Well, the idea, the things that we're both embedded system engineers. So we did start from building our own hardware and stuff like that. It's still there. But what has really pulled us into this conversation and everything, this technology, was actually the LoRa network business in terms of trying to set nice networks, monitor networks, and stuff that we're going to talk, I guess, later in this.
Yeah. So you start with hardware, and was it the Sprout that started that still exists?
Yeah, it still exists. It's just a little bit less marketized, let's say, because it's a kind of hard thing to do. And also the idea and the business behind the LoRaWAN analytics platform has kind of skyrocketed for us the last years, especially after Helium. So yeah, we just decided to focus on this a little bit more.
Cool. That makes sense. I mean, gateways, hardware is hard. Okay, so if a customer comes to Kudzu, what do they kind of see and do and get when it comes to network analytics? Like, what should they expect?
Well, long story short, let me just give you kind of an explanation of how we treat this thing. We believe that we have this notion that everyone who installs more than two or three LoRaWAN gateways for us is a network operator. So when they come to us, they expect to find services for designing these type of networks, and also monitoring and evaluating the quality of the network after the installation, after everything turns on. That's the main idea behind it.
Okay, and I would think with LoRaWAN, just because it's such a robust network, you can throw a couple gateways up in a neighborhood and you're good. But it sounds like from what you guys have seen, there are maybe significant improvements that you can make in positioning those gateways as well as some other factors. Is that right? Or is it?
That's kind of
true. Are you guys overcomplicating anything?
This is our big talk also within, you know, internally in the LoRa Alliance. We've been a LoRa Alliance member for like 3 or 4 years now. I had the chance to be there in the beginning. I was using LoRa's back in 2012. That's like 3 years before the wider network protocol was released. And we could see coming, we could see two things that I thought they were very important. And this is how I started Kudzu. One is that we take a connectionless technology. It's literally a technology, a little bit like walkie-talkies. So you talk, you're not connected. Everybody can hear everything, of course, there is encryption and stuff like that. And nobody else can talk at the same point. And we turn this into a wider networks and installing like thousands, hundreds of thousands of devices. So I had the idea that, you know, there are going to be issues there. And the second thing was that LoRa was promoted as an off-the-shelf technology. It's exactly as you described. You can grab two gateways, install them somewhere, have very good coverage and stuff like that. But does this scale correctly? And this is also a big question that goes, you know, horizontally all around the IoT ecosystem. So we, as I said, we consider people with gateways as network operators, although a lot of the times in LoRa, people consider themselves application installers. So they don't install networks, they install water meters, but to operate the water meters, you need a network. And we're trying to give those people tools to manage the networks because they are not, and they don't need to be, when it comes to LoRa, telecom experts. That's the idea. So we try to engulf into the platform all the expertise you need in order to run networks as they're supposed to be running.
And that's pretty cool, because I'd always thought of LoRaWAN as being this really high bar, like you do need to be an expert in everything to get the bloody thing to
that's
work.
The story with embedded and IoT a little bit, right? I mean, it's that side of, let's say, full stack developer. Once you have things on the field, you need to know a little bit about everything, right?
Yeah, there's always this sneering, oh, you don't speak C++, you don't speak Python 7 or whatever the latest crazy thing is. Like, oh, for Christ's sake, I just want this thing to work. Okay, so you guys do the network analysis piece. Can you walk me through what it might look like to do some fine tuning of a LoRaWAN deployment? So I've got 5 gateways up, you come into my business and you're like, here's what I think we can do. Here's what you could see.
Well, the funny thing is that you have 5 gateways and then you come to our business because you start seeing that things are not going as you expect. Don't get me misunderstood. It's not that LoRa has inherited problems. Mm-hmm. It's that the thing scale, networks become really large. To be honest, if you come with 5 gateways, we will probably just consult you for free to give you the idea about how it is. But if you come with us with a city-level network or some kind of infrastructure monitoring applications and stuff like that, things can get messy. One of the main things that we see is, let me start from the first step. The first step, of course, is designing the network. Up to today, what we've seen is that people, again, with this idea that this is an easy-to-install and easy-to-deploy technology, they do RF analysis. So they take their positions, the place where they can install their antennas and see the propagation of the network, of the coverage and stuff like that. That's super cool and super useful, but this is just the first step. It's completely different to design a network for general use or a network for water meters that, at least in Europe, they're usually deep down, you know, under street level and stuff like that. And it's completely different to design a network for mobile applications, for sensors moving around, or for light bulb control and stuff like that. So we take all of these things into consideration at the stage level, at the design level, the first stage. Once you turn on your network, also, keep in mind that, let me add here that we don't give you a report about the possible RF analysis. We give you a digital model that you can start verifying by the time your network has started running. So we give you this digital model of our simulation. And if you continue to the rest of the services with us, we can start mapping the real scenario, what you see on the field once your network is there, and compare it with a simulation. This gives us a head start into fixing issues even before the whole network is deployed, because as you can imagine, a network, especially in a city environment, is not deployed within a day, right? It takes some time. So we can see these issues very early, that the coverage for this type of application might not be as expected when we simulated the network, because simulation, it's just a simulation. So this is the first idea. Now, moving on, we do all this kind of qualitative analysis. I usually say that if you ask 20 people what's a good LoRaWAN network for you, they're going to give you 40 different answers. There's no strict guideline. I've seen all the type of weird things. Like one of our customers a few months ago was asking for packet error rate. It's like it doesn't exist in connectionless networks. You can't really use this as a metric, but they do think they want this. So we do a kind of an analysis of your needs and we design the KPIs. We have some of our own KPIs and we also design the KPIs per application in order to give you an idea about how your network works. Of course, this can be a dashboard. Engineers love dashboards. Personally, I find it overwhelming. A lot of times, people see graphs, but graphs don't really mean anything in the end of the day, unless you're an expert. So we do take the extra step and we do 2 things which we think are pretty valuable. You get an engineering report at the end of the month about how good is your network in terms of quality. And you also get actionable items, actionable alerts. So we're going to tell you, let me put it this way, a typical, let's say, gateway management platform will give you an idea, will tell you that a gateway is down. What Kudzu is going to tell you is that whether this is a critical event, whether this is something you should run on a Sunday afternoon and go and fix, or whether this is something that you can, relax, there's a redundancy here and there, so you are okay with it. Last thing is that there's a lot of debugging happening there. As I told you in the beginning, if you have like 5 or 10 or 50 gateways, it's very possible that you will come to us because you see some strange issues on your network And it's extremely difficult to debug. Is it the sensors? Is it the field? Is it the gateways? Is it the server? So with us, you can really even, you know, question the AI that we've trained on this type of data, and you can really get answers very quickly about what might be going on in your network. So that's the idea.
As funnily enough, that was my next question, was this AI integration piece. I think there's a bigger conversation about, you know, will AI fix the overall IoT kind of integration issue? But in your case, is an AI just going to put you out of a job where you have this AI and then I can talk to it and be like, hey, what should I do? And it can know enough to say, oh, well, you know, move over, Demetrius. This is what you need to do with your gate runners. How close are you to that?
I'm glad that we've seen it being used by our customers. It's a little bit, I don't know if it's going to throw us out of business. Be my guest. I'd love to be here in my island doing something else. No problem with that, as long as they pay for it. But it does give a lot of insights to our customers, especially when they have issues where they end up coming to us for the consultation stage. Because a lot of times they're going to see issues, but they need more input. We are experts on that. So they end up with us, you know, doing meetings, weekly meetings to solve issues and stuff like that. They come way more informed. So they have an idea about what's going on in the network already. And we think that this speeds up the process extremely. In the end of the day, they get more value out of the product because they can solve their issues much faster.
Yeah, that makes sense. So one of the things that I'm hearing is this idea that you're explaining what is a technical thing, network analysis and understanding, to maybe non-technical experts when it comes to network analysis. And my guess is that your interaction with Helium helped you guys get a lot better at explaining technical things to non-technical people. Tell me a little bit about the experience with Helium back in, 2021 when the whole thing exploded?
That was a crazy idea, yes. Well, back in 2021, the platform was already there, but it was in a less complete stage, let's say. But we already had integrated this type of planning software, so you could actually do everything on your browser. We had all the 3D models in the browser and stuff like that. And you could directly just drag and drop your antennas, your locations. And I remember that Helium was coming. I called my colleague and co-founder, Ioannis, and I was like, man, we have a chance here. And I didn't really, I'm more of an engineer and less of a salesman person. My idea was that this is the time to test our planning capabilities. So we injected the Helium algorithms about, how was it called? I don't even remember. Sorry for this.
It was like HIP 17, all the different parts about how you should earn.
Yes, we kept integrating all this kind of stuff and people were getting crazy. Yep. And yes, as you very nicely put down, we figured out that, of course, it was a commercial success for the platform, but it was also a huge success for us because we solved exactly this. We realized what type of problems people have with these networks and how we can integrate all these problems to the platform and how we can explain these things to the platform. And it was a very, very, very helpful experience for us. By the way, we're still using the Helium network here in the island. Still have like a few hundreds of sensors running. So yeah, it's good and clear.
It's still going. I mean, it's surprising to a lot of people to realize that Helium not only is still going, but it's still the largest global LoRaWAN and still works.
That's true. And we do have customers which had this request. We had foreseen this request, but it came very late. Some of our customers have their own private networks, not on Helium, but they do use Helium where they need it. So where they have like some kind of white holes in the network. And they usually come to us so that we can detect where they need to enhance their network by not adding gateways, but instead buying the data from Helium. And that's amazing, I think. It's a very good and very nice solution.
And I think that's part of Alper, the CEO of the LoRa Alliance. One of his big plans is to say, hey, we should all be interchangeable. So whether you're on Helium or TTN or Actility or whatever the thing is, like, great. They all talk to each other. They all do all the kind of horse trading behind the scenes as far as who gets what for what data packet. But from the customer's perspective of having coverage, if there's any LoRaWAN coverage there, it should be used. And we're not there yet, but I think that's
exactly what we're going. That's also what we keep pushing down, let's say, the throat of the Greek market. LoRa projects are being installed here mainly due to the advancements in water metering. So water metering might belong to different municipalities in the same area. And we keep telling them, do not install more networks. There is coverage around. You can install a couple of gateways here and there, 10, 20, whatever. But you can check the coverage of other networks and start roaming the data, this kind of, this the dream of LoRa. And they sometimes also use the platform in order to see if they have roaming capacity, let's say, if they can allow other traffic to come go through their network and stuff like that. And it's amazing. I see it's pretty slow to pick up because they haven't learned how to, you know, collaborate yet. But I hope it will be there soon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my hope as well. So what else do you see coming down the pipe in LoRaWAN that is relevant to what Kudzu is doing? What are you excited about?
That's an unexpected question, to be honest. We would love to see some kind of certification on the network level. An example I usually give to people is that LoRa is right now at the stage where you buy your sensors. So it's like you buy your mobile phone, your expensive certified mobile phone, and you cannot really be sure if the network is going to be there. It's like the mobile telephone back in the 90s. You didn't have coverage everywhere. You didn't know what's going on. We'd love to have some kind of, well, certification, strict guideline or whatever in order to allow the network to be, let's say, criticized based on the quality and ranked based on the quality. And I think that would give a great leverage to people to home because, to be honest, LoRa is amazing, but out in the market, you will see, you will already know that when people start have some problems, they first blame the technology, but not their installations. And this is what we want to change in order to, you know, leverage the whole thing.
There have been so many times when I blamed LoRaWAN and it turns out that I'd put in the app key wrong or the W error or something.
Yeah, like, you can imagine what happens when you do this and this for like 100,000 sensors, right? It's like things can collapse.
Okay, so maybe one thing we might see in the future, and I'm totally putting words in your mouth here, is that Kudzu or something like it comes out with a global LoRaWAN network coverage tool. And so you can look and see, hey, what's covered in my area? Is it going to be Helium? Is it going to be TTN? Is it Actility? Is it
that some would be amazing, to be honest. Yeah, that would be a really nice thing to do, to have at least for everyone.
Okay, well, the next time we have you back on here, you should have it ready, right?
Yep. There's a task for the next time.
Yeah. I'll give you about 6 months. Demetrius, thanks so much for making the time coming on. I know you're super busy running a business. I appreciate you carving out some time and talking to me about network analysis when it comes to LoRaWAN.
Thank you so much. And I hope, I guess we'll see you on Smart Cities in November, right?
That's right, baby.
Great. See you there.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. I built this for you. So whether you're a business owner, a LoRaWAN professional, or a hobbyist, the intent is to give you great LoRaWAN information. Of course, the best information doesn't come from me. It comes from the conversations we have with the people building and deploying this tech in the real world. And that's where you come in. LoRaWAN is a global patchwork of talent and ideas. And ironically, for a globally connected network, most of the brilliant folks working on it aren't connected yet. Help me change that. Introduce me to someone awesome in your network, someone doing meaningful work in LoRaWAN, or just shoot me a name. I'll take it from there and get them on the show so we can share their work with the world. You can always find me at metsci.show. That's metsci.show, metsci.show. If you want to support the show in other ways, you can subscribe, leave a review, share it with your corner of the world. All of those are super helpful. If you'd like to support financially, you can go to support.metsci.show for both one-time and recurring options. We're also open to sponsors. If your company serves the LoRaWAN community and you want to reach this dedicated audience, let's talk. If you want to try LoRaWAN for yourself, create a Medio Scientific account at console.medioscientific.com and get your first 400 DC for free, which is enough to run a device sending hourly for about a year. This show is supported by a grant from the Helium Foundation and produced by Gristle King, Inc. I'm Nick Hawks. I'll see you on the next show.